Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we come before you to know, come before you today, we know that you are the one true God. And we come before you to say that we trust in you. All of our hopes, our dreams, all of our failures, all of our needs, desires, we place in your hands. And you've told us that when we seek your face, you will answer. So we lift you up this morning and we ask that you open our hearts as the pastor preaches and teaches from God's words. And just open our hearts that we may be transformed by it. We praise your name. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said,
amen. Thank you all for being here today. Thank you, Brother Andrew. It's been a kind of an unusual Sunday service. And a lot of different things added in, and he's always so agreeable to and flexible to do what we need to do here on Sunday. And I thank God for Andrew Penny. It's a tough crowd, Andrew. It really is. We're going to be this morning. We're returning to our theme for the year, which is 2025 breakthrough, and. Just want to give a plug for next Sunday. We've been fasting and praying as a church family in the month of January. 96 of you have been fasting and praying. And if God's done something, you've received some kind of breakthrough this month, I want you to let me know about it. Just call me, text me, get with me face to face. Because next Sunday we're going to have a praise and prayer service. And it is going to be off the chain. We're going to have some prayer points that we're going to pray over, and we're going to share some testimonies with you about what God's doing. And I just know that we have prepared the ground through prayer and fasting for breakthrough 2025. And it just may be that God moved in your life this month in some way. So holler at me, if you will. And that'll be a part of the service next Sunday. So y'all don't want to miss it. It's going to be good. This morning, we are going to look at the best kept secret in church. You remember the theme verse for this year, right? What is it?
Jeremiah 33:3.
Good. And how? And what is that theme verse? Ellen. No, 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 no. Goodness gracious. Anyways, learn that verse. Claim it. Claim it this year. All right, we're in Mark chapter 9. If you would stand as we honor God's word this morning. We're going to start there at verse 14. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing with them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, "What are you discussing with them?" Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." And he answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Yes. Father, we lift up your word today. Speak to us, Lord. Give us your truth today. And then help us, once we hear the truth, to receive the truth and respond to it in obedience. I would ask it in the powerful and matchless name of our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Now, the background for this text is Peter and James and John had been up on the mount of transfiguration with Jesus. And Jesus had been glorified before their very eyes. They had seen the glorified Christ. And you remember that it was probably the greatest Bible conference in human history. Elijah and Moses showed up to encourage the Lord in his journey toward the cross. And so it was, and I will tell you, Peter, James, and John never got over it. You read about it all in the New Testament. And so they're coming down now, though, off the mountain, and there's a crowd down there in the valley. And the other nine disciples are having a little Q&A time with the scribes, some scribes and some Pharisees and the religious crowd. And then in the midst of that crowd was a brokenhearted, distraught, despondent father who had a son who was possessed by a demon. He couldn't hear and he couldn't speak. And he had brought his boy to the nine in order that they might be able to exercise the power of God's healing. And they had failed miserably. And by the way, the religious crowd was tickled to death that they couldn't help him. Isn't the cold water committee in the Baptist church the worst thing ever? I mean, and so they didn't understand why they couldn't help this boy. And so later on in the day when they're in a house, in someone's home, they asked the Lord, they said, "Man, you have given us power when you sent us out earlier. Why couldn't we help this boy?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "This kind of healing only comes through prayer and fasting." And I want to tell you, it's the best kept secret in the church today. It is through prayer and fasting that we receive the power and the presence of Almighty God. And if there's anything that we need up in here this morning, church family, it is the presence of Almighty God. We need for Him to pour out His Spirit in us. And there's something about fasting that gets you on praying ground. I mean, when we give up the natural, that which is so, it's the most, to eat is the most natural desire we have. Amen? And when we give up the natural, God's drawn to that weakness, that sacrifice of giving up food to experience Him. Somehow or other, He's drawn to that weakness, and then He begins to supply the power and the presence that we so wonderfully need. And so I want to talk about this best kept secret. I know we don't have long, but I'm going to move quick. So you're going to have to listen up fast this morning, all right? First of all, I want to say that prayer and fasting is the cure for a difficult situation. Now, there's in the tenor and tone of this text, there's three things that reveal this is a difficult situation that Mark's talking about here. And you've got a desperate world, you've got demonic activity, and then you've got a defeated church. And so let's take a look at this. First of all, the tenor and tone of this text reminds me that, y'all, we live in such a desperate world. That's what's going on here. You've got this hurting father, and he has a son who couldn't hear or speak, and worse than that, he was possessed by a demon. And he had been this way since he was a small child. And the father had just about given hope when Jesus steps down into the valley. Aren't you glad He's not only God of the mountain, He's God in the valley? And He picks us up and carries us. We live in a hurting world, brothers and sisters. Families are struggling. Husbands and wives are really having relationship issues, and families are really struggling. Single parents are having trouble paying their bills. Children are being trafficked sexually. Our teenagers, man, are under all kinds of peer pressure. There's wildfires going on out in California. I mean, everywhere you go, hurricanes and tornadoes. I mean, we live in a desperate world. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, desperate days call for desperate measures. And that's where the prayers of the saints come in. And so prayer and fasting is the key. It's the cure for a difficult situation. But verses 17 and 18 reveal that demonic activity was going on when Jesus was here. And I want to tell you, demonic activity is ramped up right now. You know why? Because Jesus is coming. Because Jesus is coming. Now, look again at verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Violent convulsions and seizures were the result of being possessed by a demon. This young son, since a very young age. And we had baby dedication this morning. And I want to put the church on alert. If you don't get this, brothers and sisters, you listen to your pastor. And if I'm not your pastor, I'm your friend. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. The devil is after your child. He is after our children. Wake up. He is after our kids. And if we don't do what the scripture says do, he's liable to take over. Now, let me just chase this rabbit for just a second. If you are a believer, if you're a Christian, you're possessed by the Holy Spirit. And you cannot be possessed by the demons. If you got the Spirit of God and he's in possession of your life, no one else can take that possession. But now you can be demon oppressed. All right? And so here's the devil's plan for your children and your grandchildren and your nieces and your nephews. Here's his plan: to kill their spirit, steal their joy, and destroy their lives. That's what he wants to do. That's what he was wanting to do with this young child here. And so, you know, have you ever wondered why we spend so much time and money and all this stuff on children's ministry and youth ministry? They're not only worth it, it glorifies God. We are the ones that are entrusted with the lives of these kids. We're a part of something that's a lot bigger and greater than who we are. And so you've got all... Now, let me just ask you a quick question. What would happen if we all got a burden for our kids? If we really got a burden and to get on our faces before God... We've got Disciple Now coming up, and I just want to tell you, I am 100% behind the theme of this Disciple Now. It's time that the church stood up and heard and spoke truth into the lives of our children, our parents, and our grandparents. The world's already given them a plate full of mess. So hallelujah. Even though the devil is alive and well, Jesus has defeated him. And even though he's after your children, we've got these dynamic weapons called prayer and fasting, and we can be defeated. And they can be defeated. Amen. Go ahead and give God praise. And there's one final thing that has to do with this difficult situation this family is in. It kind of pictures a defeated church. In these nine disciples, we see that a defeated church. The father had brought his child to these men with hopes that they might cast that demon out. When Jesus, let me just read verses 6. Look at chapter 6 and verse 7. And he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two by two. And he gave them what? Power over unclean spirits. And so Jesus had already sent them out, and he had given them power over demonic, unclean spirits. And yet when this father had brought his demon-possessed boy, they couldn't help him. You understand what's going on here? And the scribes were enjoying it. Man, they're thrilled that they couldn't help this family. And then in verse 18, you could write this over the doors of a lot of our churches, but they could not. What good is a powerless church in a defeated, desperate, demonic world? You see where the power comes from? Now, I don't know if the disciples had forgotten where their power came from, or maybe they had neglected their prayer life, but Jesus told them, he said, the reason you couldn't heal him is because you had neglected prayer and fasting. That's a word for us this morning, church family. Hello? And so prayer and fasting is the cure for a difficult situation. And I'll move quickly now. Here's the last point. Prayer and fasting is the key to a divine solution. A divine solution. First of all, there's some faith being exercised here. And it's not even great faith. It's just faith. Now watch this. Look at verse 20. Let me start there at verse 19. This is almost hilarious. Jesus answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him and fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But you can do anything. Have compassion on us and help us." And so Jesus looked after hearing the situation and understanding what was going on. He looked at his disciples and said, "How long have I got to put up with you guys?" Now that's the Cal Hampton Standard Version. I understand that. How long have I got to put up with this? When are you guys going to get it? That's what he's asking them. And then he looks at that father and he just says, "Bring him to me." Isn't that the divine solution? Just get them to Jesus. Just bring them to the Lord. Say that with me. Get them to Jesus. That is the solution for any and every problem. And then after a few questions with the father, Jesus immediately looks with that father and he said these words, "All things are possible to him who believes." All things are possible to him who believes. You see what Jesus is calling for? He's calling for this father to exercise his faith. And this daddy blesses me. Immediately, he says, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." Isn't that a good prayer? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You see, the problem's not with Jesus, brothers and sisters. The problem's with us. We're the ones that he's looking to. Do you know how to strengthen and exercise your faith? It's through prayer. I wish Brother Cal would get off this prayer stuff. As soon as we get on board, I'll get off of it. This is the key, brothers and sisters, to a divine solution. And so through prayer and fasting, God was drawn to this father and son who were weak and helpless. And as we pray and fast, God is drawn to our weakness and gives us the power to exercise our faith. All things are possible to him who believes. Claim that verse today. God has not changed. He's still able. And then there's one final thing I think we need to. Failure, not only is faith being exercised, but failure is being exorcised. Y'all with me? That's two different words there. Okay? Look at verse 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father and child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to him, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He is dead." But hallelujah, Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind can only come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." Jesus told that demon to come out of that boy. And the boy convulsed one last time and left him. And Jesus went over to the folks that were there thought, man, this kid's dead. And Jesus went over there, grabbed the boy by the hand, and lifted him up. Don't y'all love that old song? Love lifted me, love. We don't have time to sing through that whole song, but man, that's a good one. So why did the disciples fail? Their faith had failed them because they had neglected a lifestyle of prayer. That is huge for us this morning. The reason for our prayerlessness, excuse me, the reason for our powerlessness is our prayerlessness. If you didn't get anything else this morning, get that. The reason that we lack power is because of the lack of prayer. We ought to have a sign over our door as we come in. Second Mile Church. The Power Pack Church. That's where the power comes from. Jesus and the Scripture tells us, when I'm weak, hallelujah, then I'm strong. And so God is with us this morning. And the power that a desperate, demonic, defeated world needs only comes when God's people will pray and fast and bear the burden. And then God's drawn to our weakness. And then He begins to do great and mighty things and show us things that we don't know anything about. Are y'all ready for that in 2025? Man, I sure am. Well, Andrew, I just about got it to 20 minutes. How about that? True story. So it happened at another church several years ago. You remember when they used to have these great old organs in the churches? Weren't they fabulous? Well, this particular church had an electric organ. It wasn't one of the pipe organs, but it was an electric organ. And normally in the beginning of the service, you know, right before the pastor would get up, the organist would begin to play something. And so she sat down and began to play and run it up and down the keyboard, and there was nothing coming out, no sound. And so the pastor saw what was going on, and so he immediately got up and welcomed everybody. And the whole time, she's still running up and down the keyboard, and nothing's coming out. And so he begins to pray. And about that time, the custodian, who was sitting over there by the organist, realized they'd been cleaning in the sanctuary that week and had unplugged the organ. And so real quietly during the prayer, he sneaks over and plugs the organ back in and wrote a little note to the organist and said, after the prayer, the power will be back on. I've come down here today to tell you, prayer is where it's at. If you want the power and the presence of God on your life, do what we've been talking about this month. Get on your knees before God and just begin fasting and praying and see what God will do for you. He's drawn to weakness. He's drawn to weakness. And I can't explain it. Let me just tell you this. I got a call from one of our church members this week. Whenever you're trying to experience the power and the presence and the best that God has for you, guess who that makes mad? And you're going to have some spiritual warfare. That's why I've been into bed for 7 days. And God had to get me flat on my back to speak to me about some things. And so, but you need to understand, even if the evil one comes against you, you're still a winner. You've got victory because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. And so I want to encourage us this morning. Now, if you're not a born-again believer, the Bible says that God doesn't hear. The only prayer that God hears from a lost person is a prayer of salvation. And if you're not sure about your relationship with God, whether or not you're saved, whether you've been born again, I'm not talking about church membership, baptism. I'm just talking about, do you know that you know that you know you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus? Well, you can have that before you leave here. You just need to simply say, Lord, I want to turn from my sin, which has separated me from you, and I want to turn to Jesus and surrender to him as the Lord of my life. I give you everything that I am to everything that you are. Thank you for saving me. It's been a couple of weeks since we've seen anybody saved. Somebody here needs Jesus. We're going to have an invitational response here in just a moment. If you prayed that way and you want that, I want you to just come. And we'll pray with you and pray for you. It'll be the greatest decision of you. And then you can walk out of here knowing you can begin a life of prayer and serving Jesus. And I think there's a lot of others here this morning. You're saved, you're born again, but you're lacking that power that God wants you to have. Scripture says you have not because you ask not. And you can have what we're talking about today. If you'll, all things are possible to him who believes. Let's pray together. Father, I know that you're speaking to hearts all over this building. This entire month, I believe you've been speaking to many of our folks. And I don't know exactly what the response needs to be with people here in the sanctuary, but God, it is my desire that we'd all be obedient. That we would do what you're calling us to do. God, make us a mighty moving marching army. May the prayers of the saints bombard heaven this morning and meet the needs that we have. God, I pray for that one or those two or maybe those 10 that need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You do that today, Father, would you? Save souls. And those of us that are saved, change lives. Help us to experience that reviving power and that manifest presence of Almighty God. Help us to pray with a spiritual goal in mind that would glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now as we move into a time of prayer and obedience, Father, open up this altar for people to come and seek your face. Maybe for their family, maybe for their children, maybe for provision. I'd ask God that you would do that. Right here today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand quietly and reverently and we'll sing.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.